having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an obispo. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth.
Hila bagaba nina iwan yoni vile akras. Oh, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed Lord, thank you. Glory to God. So Matthew's Gospel 16:18. Thank you, Lord. It says, and I see unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Ephesians 6, we'll read from verse 12 to 18 very quickly. Ephesians 6, 12 to 18. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, where? In high places. All right. He said, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In the evil day, definite article, the evil day. Nobody on earth escapes the evil day. Amen. Hallelujah. People have different seasons of the evil day. Meaning, there are days where life will come to ask you questions. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get that? All right. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with strength. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. The shield of faith can quench every fiery dart of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's offensive. Amen. You know, it lists defensive weapons and offensive weapon. He talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, that is how you take the sword of the Spirit. That's how you take the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Give the Message translation of verse 18. Pastor Peter already during the prayer. Some of you didn't see. Let us read it. Message translation. Can you see this? In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing what? Warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray hard and long. Pray hard and long. Pray hard and long. Amen. Pray hard and long. You can't remove it from the Bible. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. And I've told you the trick of prayer. It begins as a decision. So once you know, look, this is a necessity, you will structure to pray. Hallelujah. And when you're in corporate gatherings like this, corporate meeting, you will pray. Hallelujah. You take advantage of the anointing and pray. You see, the worst place you can get distracted while prayer is going on is in church like this. It's really not wise. People are praying and then you are looking. It's not wise. If you don't know what to do, just close your eyes and say, Father, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Do you understand? If you can't speak in tongues, do you understand? Because it just doesn't make any sense. Hallelujah. And corporate praying like this helps push your personal prayer life. You receive impartations when we pray together. When the fire is burning like this and you throw yourself inside, there are impartations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. So you say prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. We'll get into all that. Obviously, this will be part of total immersion of June, definitely. Because there are things I can't rush. Hallelujah. I can't rush them. We'll have to teach them. You know, when I was preparing, I just told myself, I said, this total immersion like spiritual warfare in one service. This total immersion like stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Our victory is setting. Amen. Our victory is setting. Somebody say, Pastor, if our victory is setting, why is there spiritual warfare? Well, because Satan and his demons are rebels. Amen. They are rebels. That's what they did in heaven. That got them thrown out. And they are still doing the same today. Rebels are those who willingly oppose authority. Who willingly oppose government. They willingly disobey constituted rules. Those are rebels. Amen. So this is why we have spiritual warfare. Because Satan and his demons are rebels. It has nothing to do with what God has established. God has established your victory. God has settled your prosperity, your healing, your peace, your well-being. Hallelujah. But there is a devil. We have an adversary. Satan the devil. Who will ensure or who wants to sway you from what has been obtained. And that is where spiritual warfare comes in. Are we together? This is the reason for spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 6. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 3 to 6. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Subtopic under the triumphant church. Amen. The triumphant church must understand spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Put it up. Let's read it. Must understand spiritual warfare. Oh yes, it must. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 3 to 6. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. This is Paul talking about our experience as believers in the New Testament. He's mentioning war there. Reading further, you see that he mentions warfare. Glory to God. There are Christians who, by reason of faulty understanding of new creation realities, act as though demons don't exist. And God doesn't want us to think like that. Demons exist. Glory to God. They act as though, okay, Satan is not a factor, and they don't address him properly. God doesn't want us living like that. Jesus handled Satan as a worthy adversary, and he exercises authority over him. Amen. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Wow, remarkable. That means there's warfare and there are weapons. Hallelujah. There's warfare and there are weapons. Some of you, as you act on this teaching today, you see your finances go up. I'm telling you the truth. I lie not. I'm telling you the truth. You begin to see things take shape. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not man-made, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The first person I ever heard expose this 20 years ago was my pastor then. Amen. Pastor Charles Jibono. And by the way, he'll be with us on the 13th of June. Hallelujah. That was the man who got me filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized by water, introduced me to ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'll be with us on the 12th. That should be two Sundays from now. Hallelujah. We should have the graphic circulating from this week. Hallelujah. I still have the tape. I bought the tape then. I still have it in my archive. It's the weapons of our warfare. I remember 20 years ago. That's a long time. Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel old. Amen. Glory to God. He says, casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Casting down reasonings. Casting down ways of thinking. And every high thing that exalts itself against the counsel of God, the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, that is a remarkable exposition on the subject of spiritual warfare. Are we together? Spiritual warfare is not the popular thing that most of you know. Hallelujah. It's not, I'm not referring to the funny things that people do, carrying stick and hitting the devil. They say, Satan, no program. Match up. It's not on the ground. Glory to God. It's not where you are stepping on it. Somebody say, no, but it's prophetic action. No, your prophetic action must have root in scriptures. Glory to God. In the New Testament. Hallelujah. I heard there were people who brought cutlass to church. They say, match it the enemy. Match it all the people. Are you? Grace gone on rampage. That doesn't make scriptural sense. Are we together? Spiritual warfare, we are dealing with highly organized, highly intelligent network of adversary. Though defeated, they are organized, intelligent, and well-networked. Are we together? So you are not thinking, we are not dealing with, this is no joke. This is no carrying knife in church. It's not physical. You say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are you doing with cutlass? It can't cut you a devil. And that ain't no prophetic action. Glory to God. He said, cut your devil. Give him back cut. Front cut. It makes no scriptural sense as far as the New Testament is concerned. Are we together? Are we together? All right. So, we... Oh, dear Lord. I'm trying to look for an entry point. If... Very important entry point. Now hear this. Satan has different layers of interest on the earth. This is where your understanding of warfare must begin. Remember, we have laid the foundation of the apostolic DNA of the church. We said the church is apostolic. How many of you remember that? We talked about all that, right? So we are envoys. We are here on an assignment. The church is an advancing force. Amen. Every member of the body of Christ has a destiny they must fulfill. And every congregation of God's people have a vision they must pursue. We have talked about that. Glory to God. So the church should never think about church within these four walls. This is our gathering to have fellowship, to get equipped, to get trained. Church begins on Monday. Did you get that? Church begins when you walk into that banking hall as a banker. Church begins when you walk into that classroom as a lecturer. Church begins when you go on the internet as an ICT person, an internet person, whatever you do. Church begins when you step into your space. Do you understand? That is where real church begins. This is equipping. This is fellowship. This is stirring. This is renewal. That's what happens within the four walls. So the assignment of the church is not within these four walls. The assignment of the church is outside the four walls of the church. So by God's design, you are the extension of the church out there. Is somebody following me? The church that understands that is the church that will usher in the coming of the Messiah. The church that understands Isaiah chapter 2, in the last days yet God, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. All nations shall flow to her. And men who tell themselves, come, let us go up to the house of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way. For out of Jerusalem, out of Zion shall go forth the law. That is the church. And we are that church. You've heard me say again about the fully activated church. How many of you remember? A church where every member is a minister, but not climbing pulpit here, but climbing their pulpit in the marketplace. Do you understand? Now, if we teach spiritual warfare just at personal level, we will not be able to equip a church that can stand against Satan in the marketplace. Are you getting the reasoning now? So if we teach spiritual warfare as, okay, when something comes to press you in the night, and by the way, why is something pressing you in the night? Glory to God. I say, I was, your mom, Jesus. And then he left, grew up some more. Hallelujah. Those things used to press me those days. Hallelujah. He used to press me those days, but those days are long gone. Ah, they are long gone. They can't come close. They're long gone. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? That thing that comes to oppress people. Hallelujah. Those are little demons in your neighborhood. Amen. Hallelujah. But at least the minister told you the reality of the spirit realm, among other things. You can't explain it. Why is something sitting on your head? Early hours of the morning or late at night. Let it stop from today. Glory to God. And let nobody intimidate you in your dream. Hallelujah. But see, this comes from developing strong spirit. Hallelujah. In my dream, I am the director, the producer, the actor, the script writer. Do you understand? You understand? In your dream, you are everything. You are this. You are the script writer. You are the costume manager. Everything. You direct the movie. How can you have a dream? You are riding car and suddenly it disappeared. You are now trekking. What nonsense is that? You will sleep back. Or you are dreaming. You say one cow was pursuing you. You say cow means witchcraft. What are you doing with witchcraft pursuing? Now, when we get into the organogram of Satan, are you with me? You see that witches and wizards are errand boys. They are foot soldiers. They don't show so much. Hallelujah. Do you understand? When we talk about strategic advancement, agenda of demonic kingdom to antagonize the building of God's church and the execution of kingdom agenda on the earth, they don't show so much. They don't show so much. So we can't reduce warfare to handling witches and wizards. That would be naive and unapostolic. Do you understand? Satan has different layers of interest. One, territories, that's cities and nations. Two, institutions. Three, families, then individuals. Do you understand? And you have to understand that. So when you are in a space, you understand how Satan operates. When God sent you to a city, and by city I'm talking about industry, sectors, your sphere of influence, you understand how Satan operates? You are not naive. You are not ignorant of the devices of Satan, because that ignorance is Satan's only advantage. Hear me. Satan's only advantage over the believer is the believer's ignorance over his schemes and devices. That's what the scripture says. He said, lest he should take advantage of you, lest he should have an advantage over you. That is his only advantage. Your ignorance of his schemes, of his methodia, of his strategies. So he has different layers of interest, like I listed. And that also shows you the different layers of warfare you must understand. He's interested in territories. You read in Daniel chapter 10, we read it in the first service, that when the angel of the Lord was bringing an answer for Daniel while he was fasting and praying, not for himself, but for the children of Israel, he brought a word from the Lord. He said, I am come because of your word. But while I was on my way, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. He was referring to a demonic personality. He withstood me. Then Michael, the first of your chief prince, of your chief princes, came to help me. And then in that place, you can go home and read it. He said, and after the prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia shall come. And what happened? After Persia was dissolved, Greece became the world power. That means nations in those days didn't become world powers by the strength of the physical kings. They had spiritual principalities. So you think Alexander the Great was just conquering land? No, there was the prince of Grecia. And he was referring to spiritual personalities. In that Ephesians 6, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against. So the list he gave us there are spiritual entities. They're not talking about humans. He said principalities, that's spiritual. Powers, that's spiritual. The rulers of the darkness of this world, that's spiritual. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember that Satan fell with one third of the countable fraction of the angels in heaven. Who do you think they became? They became demons. They are the demons we talk about. They are the demons. They got corrupted. They were judged. They lost their beauty. They lost their first estate. They became the demons. And now, don't forget that the Bible alludes to rankings of angels. Amen. That means all angels are not the same. He talks about watchers. He talks about cherubs. He talks about seraphims. He talks about archangels. Are we together? He gave cadres to the angelic beings. He talks about guardian angels, spiritual princes. He said Michael and his angels. So there were classes. Do you understand? Now, I say that to make you understand this. Even when Satan fell with the angels, he fell with them at different classes. Did you get that? At different levels. So he's organized that way. He has strategists. He has those who carry out the strategies. He has foot soldiers. Those who carry out the strategies, I'm talking about those who enforce the strategies. Then he has foot soldiers who carry them out. He has those who possess people. Just different categories. Time enough for me to go into demonology. But I need to understand. What I want you to get is understanding warfare across its different areas of interest. I told you when we're teaching about the DNA of the church, I told you that as the church, we are the repeller of evil on the earth. And I told you that the first layer of that repulsion is at ideological level. After you have prayed and commanded, you have to understand how Satan operates. Listen, ideologies are important to Satan as much as they are important to God. You will notice in Paul's writing in this 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. And then he began to list a stronghold. What was the first thing he said? Casting down imaginations, reasonings, thoughts, ideologies. Mindsets. That means Satan begins his operation in any territory by propagating ideologies. He can't do it without it. By promoting thinking systems, thoughts, imaginations, reasonings. That's what he does. That's what he does. And he has levels where those ideologies are strategized. This is what we're going to do. I can't remember, a dear man of God was on a trip from Australia years ago. I will get the names. I don't know. I can't remember right now. And then there was a top level devil sitting by his side. The guy told me he has been fasting for months or so. For months. And he says, why is he fasting? And he told him why he was fasting. The fasting was attacking. He was fasting. He was a Caucasian. He was fasting to propagate something negative against the church of God. Can you imagine that? Fasting for a year. He was an agent. That's a foot soldier. But he must have had an encounter with the demonic spirit and had fellowship over time to be able to carry it out on the earth. Are we together? He's inviting. So they are levels of strategy. There are those who execute. There are those who sponsor deception, who cast veil over the nations. This is white. They say it's black. And people say, yes, it's black. Have you seen it happen in this world? Yes. Those things are sponsored by demons. Those things are sponsored by demons. They sponsor the veil over the nations. Are you here? So it talks about principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are the strategists. They are the strategists. Then he talks about spiritual wickedness. Those are wicked spirits. In fact, some Bible scholars believe that there were fallen angels who were too proud for their feet to touch the earth. They were hanging in the cosmic realm. Actually, according to the scriptures, Satan may not be the most wicked. Because the Bible talks about angels who are currently in chain as we're talking. They are in chains. Do you understand? Why will God chain them? Poco patalibakayas. They are in chains in Tartarus, in the deepest part of Hades. They were part of those that Jesus went to preach to, that their doom was sealed. You know, the Bible says Jesus went to hell. He preached to the Gentiles and he announced to the angels who were in the deeper part of hell, who were in chains, that what do you think he went to tell them? That their doom was sealed. And preached to the Gentiles, that is their Redeemer. Amen. And those who lived according to the law of the conscience can go up to heaven. Hallelujah. Again, we had that type in the life of Joseph. Remember? Joseph went into the dungeon, which was a type of hell. You know, he was an Old Testament type of Christ. In that dungeon, he preached to two kinds of people, the butler and the baker. To the butler, he announced to him that your doom is sealed. To the baker, he said, you are reconciled to the Father. The same thing Jesus did in Hades. He preached to the angels. You can see in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and James. He preached to the angels that their doom was sealed. But to the Gentiles, their reconciliation to the Father. Those who lived according to the law of the conscience. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. You can see that Christ is everywhere in scriptures. Everywhere in scriptures. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. So, you have to be strategic. You can't approach a sector, a city, just looking at the body. No. Every city has a body, has a soul, and has a spirit. Very important. You want to take a city, you have to go beyond the body. You have to see the soul of that city and the spirit behind the city. The soul is responsible for the thinking, the paradigm, the ideologies, the power that's sphere. Hallelujah. And so you don't just come there, how are they behaving like this? No, address the spirit behind it. Address it. Glory to God. Address it. Just for example, was plagued by a spirit of religion. As a pastor, you have to know that. Glory to God. The spirit of alcoholism, you have to know that. The spirit of religion. You got somebody born again. He wasn't born again. Got to feel the Holy Ghost. Then he said, come to church. He said, no. My family church, they say I should come to their church. You were there and smoking and drinking. Nothing happened to you. You just got delivered. Spirit of religion. Spirit of religion. Spirit of alcoholism is a spirit manifesting in physical expressions of love for alcohol. You go to certain angwa, you see five joints, one church, three joints after. Amen. Nonsense. Nonsense. Is that the will of God? No. No, no, no. You can't plant a joint near where I do church. You will close that. You know somebody tried it here. How many of you remember? You've been here long enough. Masukapa. One day I went out. I said, what are they doing there? They say it's club. And drink a club. I say in this, they don't know a church is here. After 1 year, they packed up. I went to win the manager to Christ. Amen. Are you here? But it's not by physical fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down reasonings, imaginations. You have to understand that. You have to. Satan is interested in territories. The Bible says in Acts 8, when every man went everywhere preaching, the man Philip ended up in Samaria. But you see, Samaria was nature abhors vacuum. Samaria was not empty. You can give me from verse 6. There was a man they called Simon the sorcerer. He held the whole of Samaria bound. He held the place bound. But by superiority of manifestation. The Bible says, when the people saw, put it up, and the people went according, gave heed to the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits cried out with loud voice, Makopetos Kabaya, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and many that were lamed were healed. Next verse. There was great joy in that city. So Philip ministered to an entire city. I tell you, God is interested in cities. So if you are going to go to a city, you must chase some people out. That sorcerer was not powerless by himself. It was just that a higher power came. He had to bow. Next verse. He said, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. That means Samaria was under a spell until Philip showed up. Guess what? Philip was not one of the apostles. He was a deacon that was appointed to serve table. That's what I've been talking about. He was a deacon, marketplace apostle. Are you seeing it now? Marketplace apostle. You entered into politics and all the sorcerers bowed. I know I'm talking to someone. Are you hearing me? What do you want to do with your life now? What else should excite you? You entered into a fashion business and all the devils there bowed. That's what we're talking about. You entered into a sphere, into a sector by superiority of fire. Lepetos kapati lekopa. All the devils there bow. What I'm saying is, don't be naive. Don't enter places saying you are there to do business without understanding the spiritual environment. Do spiritual mapping when you are entering anywhere. Map the place. What are the prevailing spirit attitude in this place? Map it and then announce. Announce yourself. I have come. Oh. You are talking. You say, I have come. I have come. Your gown, the top, has come here. In the name of Jesus Christ, you either walk with me or you move. Are you here? Some of you, they will transfer you to places that people bury cow. You can't speak English. You must take your stand. You must understand your authority. You must understand spiritual warfare. Because the territories that God has sent us to take, they are not empty. They are filled. Samaria was not empty. There was a sorcerer there who has bewitched the people. Lepata. But the man filled with the Holy Ghost came there. He displayed the power of God until the sorcerer came to bow to what he brought. He bewitched the people, giving out himself to be some great fellow. Verse 10. He said, to whom they all gave heed. From the last to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. Can you imagine? I told you, Satan is interested in territories. He's interested in families. Next verse. Because for a long time he bewitched them. How? With sorcery. Sorceries. Next verse. Thank you, Lord. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Next verse. Thank you, Lord. Then Simon the sorcerer himself believed also. Whether he faked it or real is not our business. You know, later story and churches, it shows that he really didn't, if his mind was not renewed, because he was the father of Gnosticism. The father of Gnosticism. The people that Paul, John addressed in 1 John chapter 1. Amen. And they say Jesus did not come in the flesh. So he likes power a lot. Remember, he paid money and Peter looked at him. He said, you have a gall of bitterness. Your money perish with you. But see, he bowed. That's what I want you to see. Superiority of manifestation. This is what God wants. This is what God wants. Are you here? This is what God wants. Glory to God forevermore. This is what God wants. You have to understand this. You can't be naive. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, he's organized. He's strategic. There is ideological warfare. There is economic warfare. So, when money is not coming to you, don't just think it's normal. Satan is at war. When God gives you a vision, as though money is not flowing, don't say, okay, in the sweet by and by, money will come. No, declare war. Do you understand? Declare war. Satan is strategic. If you didn't get anything out of this, that's what I want you to get. I see you. The personal battles that you face are beyond you. Satan is attacking God's call upon your life. And that is what you should see. Do you understand? When he shot the womb of Anna, he was beyond Anna. It was because he was fighting a prophet being born. Have you noticed that all our patriarchs, all of them had issue with giving birth early? Have you noticed? The three of them. Abraham. Isaac. Isaac had to pray to God. The Bible said God opened the womb of Rebecca. Jacob too. Do you know? Supernatural intervention. Then the womb opened. Are you here? But what do you think Satan was fighting? The seed that God promised. The seed that God promised. The seed that God promised. Hallelujah. The seed that God promised. So you must see an attack on your finances or anyhowness around your finances as war. You know, anyhowness. Things are just happening anyhow. Is war. Declare war. Fight. Unleash your faith. Release words. Fight. Engage in warfare. Glory to God forevermore. For some of you, it's your families. Satan is interested in families. He attacked the first family in Genesis chapter 3. Don't just keep quiet. Fight. Glory to God. Fight. And we have weapons. Oh yes, we have weapons. We have authority. Above and beyond all this organized structure is the authority of the believer. We have authority. We have authority. Let me still talk a little bit about this territory thing. The Spirit of God is dragging me there. Why? The church should be territorial. That's why. When Satan comes into a city, he doesn't look for the gateman. He doesn't look for the peasant farmer in that place. He looks for the king. He looks for the highest authority. And we too must be that strategic. Sometimes when people are in power, and it's as though they don't know what they are doing. I'm talking about well-meaning people. You have no idea of the kind of influence they are under. You know, I heard a story of a governor of this country, a Christian, that he was in office for over 100 days and did not know what he was doing. You enter the office, you go around and say, "How people do it?" And then meeting, he could not put his mind together until he had to meet a man of God. You think that's normal? He was a victim of sorcery. He was a victim of powers beyond his control. This is why your uncle can be governor for 4 years. He does nothing for you. Then after he's done, he says, "You, why didn't you come and see me?" He said, "Uncle, I've been coming." He says, "Seriously, what did I do for you?" "Nothing." And then strangers who understand the forces of the spirit will sway him to their favor. Life is spiritual. You must understand warfare. You must understand warfare. You must understand how to take your stand on the name of Jesus. Speaking words of power. You must understand how to give Satan a body language of victory. Because there's a body language of victory. There's the way you talk. Listen, Satan, demons have intelligence. They know who they can play with. They know bad market and they know good market. Do you understand? Just like children in primary school, I've given the illustration before. There are children you cannot bully. In the same way, there are Christians that Satan cannot bully. It's that body language of victory, that body language of authority and superiority you give in your utterance, in your prayer. Do you understand? That means you are always on the offensive. You are not waiting for something to happen to fight. No, every day you wake up, Satan, you are cursed. In the name of Jesus, Likapa. Every enemy trying to frustrate this family, every devil from hell, every altar of darkness against this house, Likapa. Totati, catch fire. Nothing has happened, but you are cursing them. In the name of Jesus, you force of hell, holding the city of Jos in bondage, in the bondage of corruption. Lekwa papa. God has sent me here to deliver. Hear me, your powers are broken. In the name of Jesus, you can't stop me in this town. No, I'm unstoppable. Is that body language of aggression? Don't you know that in elementary school, there are children, you slap them, they will cry and go. You know what happens? You can slap them the next day. You can bully them the next day. Give me your pencil. But they are children. Like my son, you can't bully him. He just hates it. You see him climbing Pastor G to beat him. Yes. Just climb. If you try to intimidate him, he's so fighty. He just doesn't like it. He's in his DNA. Thank you. He doesn't like oppression. We do face the want to oppress him. He will rush you. Praise God. There's a body language. There are children in elementary school. If you give them one slap, they rush you with two. They rush you with two, and then everybody is calm. You just know that this one cannot be bullied. The Bible says your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not everybody can be devoured. He has to seek it. Not everybody. That's how it's going. If he comes to your own house, he should pass. Do you you understand that? Keep body language around your health, your family life, your finance, your vision. Body language of victory. Don't be a cheap prey. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. Were you blessed? At least I was able to give you some physical, some teaching content. Have you been blessed by that? Rise to your feet. Father, we thank you. Rise to your feet rejoicing. Glory, glory. I promise you, I'll give you the full package at Total Immersion. The full package at Total Immersion. With scriptures. You know, we're rushing. We can't finish. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lift your hands toward heaven and bless the name of the Lord. He's worthy. He's gracious and kind. He is amazing. He is amazing. Leko pretoskile protokoposa. Lika pronda sostepa. Oh, Father, we honor you. We love you, Lord. We glorify your holy name. We magnify your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just speak in tongues. 30 seconds. Just pray right where you are. Thank the Lord for his word that has come to you. Paradoxus to pora di leke petosaya. Ninka potosika prosis to pora di leka. Zustovra pane kasapeno. Zusto predika sustapa. Pala kosesha tole brika. Embretosis to pora di leke pataya. Zeste pora di le sapatona. You have authority. You have authority. You have authority. Can you in 1 minute exercise your authority? In this second service, 1 minute, exercise your authority. Exercise your authority. I don't know over what area, just exercise your authority. Exercise your authority. Exercise your authority. Thank you, Lord. Exercise your authority. Exercise your authority. Oh, yes, you have authority. I told you, above all, this is the believer's authority. Jesus is all hail. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. Meaning our authority is in his name. It's in his name. Use the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Leproski shtepora di lekose shtepa. Mantula brika su shtepora di le samaya. Lika pato seprida kasashta.
Celebrate the Lord this morning. Give the Lord a shout. Glory!
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.